Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
When we pick up here in the book of Matthew, we're picking up here what John the Baptist is coming on the scene. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And as his cousin, he was the one that was prophesied to go before him. Amen. So John the Baptist was preaching, proclaiming in the wilderness, in a dry place, in a place where there was nothing really, you know, not a whole lot of life. Okay. And he was saying what? Repent ye. Repent ye. And this is what God is looking for. And when we talking about, and I ask you the question, or ask you to ask your neighbor the question, do you feel better? Because better just means greater than half. Improved in health or mental attitude, or improved in accuracy or performance, meaning you're just better. And many times in the church, we just want to be better. But repentance requires change. Right? So change is what? To make radically different. It's not just, oh, I got halfway good. We think when we feel better that we've repented. And repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. And being better is not repentance. So he had to call, his proclamation was repent. And we asked for, you know, the prophetic word. What is the prophetic word? What do you want to hear from God this morning? Repent. Repent. Meaning get all the way what God wants you to be. Not just better. See, I told you, I brought the right tool this morning. Because as long as we get better, we can coast to the next crisis that pushes us into a place where you get forced to repent. Meaning you get forced to change. He said, well, repent ye. Because what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning, what is the kingdom of heaven? It is the atmosphere of heaven is close to you. We want him. But see, this is sometimes what the issue is. We don't all come together and want him all at the same time. Because what is the main complaint a lot of times? I don't want to do the work to get him. Oh, Lord. I got a little bit of help. As long as I got a little bit of help, and I brought my own hallelujahs this morning. Amen? Oh, yeah, because I come to push you past better. Yeah, I come to push you past better. Because sometimes we get better, and we say, okay, well, God happy now. No, he's not. I'm trying to tell you, he's not happy with just better. He's not happy with halfway good. He wants you radically different. Meaning to where you're trying to now figure out you again. You're trying to be like, I didn't know I was capable of that. Meaning unto my in a good way. I didn't know that I could handle that. I've never handled that before, and now I'm handling this, and I'm okay with handling it. See, the repentance means I am totally different. I think different and I feel different, not just I do different. You can do different and still not repent. Meaning I can do different and still not be changed. Because see, over the course of time, doing different would not hide the fact that change has not happened. All it takes is the right situation. The right pressure, the right button to be pushed, and we can find out when we're still not changed in that area. Right? But we say, well, God, forgive me. Okay, that's good. Godly sorrow works repentance. Meaning repentance is work. Repentance is not one prayer. Repentance is not a few prayers. Repentance is not just spending time on your face. Repentance is saying, I have a plan to come all the way out of feeling this way, thinking this way, agreeing with that thing that God is not in agreement with. So do you feel better? Because we get satisfied it better. You might not feel better no more now. I don't know. You know? Because we're going through a time period where we have to pay attention to what? The cycles in your life. Pay attention to that better is still not good enough for what you really want out of your life. Yeah, it's better, but is it what God said? It's better, but am I changed the way I need to be? It's better, but is it the atmosphere that God wants me to be in? So you might have been better, and this is why maybe you came this morning with a lazy praise. Right? This is why it gets tough for us to enter into the presence of God, and I'm just going to shoot it to you straight. Because we're waiting on somebody else, or we feel good enough just to, you know, I'm just going to do my due diligence of just getting into the word today. I'm going to go to church. But that's not a desperateness to be able to say, you know what, God, I need you here. I'm talking about a manifest presence of who he is. So repent. Look at your neighbor and say repent. Repent. It should be a godly sorrow if you come to the house of God and you have not really experienced him. And I'm not talking about an emotional fit. I'm talking about an encounter with the truth of what he is trying to do in your life that pushes you. And it don't necessarily have to happen in different parts of every part of the service. What I do know is God responds to a people that are hungry. And hunger is not hidden. When you're hungry, you're not saying, well, I'm going to just wait till the food come to me. I'm going to wait till somebody feed me. Yeah, we're going to come simplistic this morning. If you are hungry for God, there should be an ease of us entering into the presence of who he is. Because he looks at hunger. So maybe some of us came with pride. I don't know. Maybe some of us came with complacency because I'm better. Or maybe some of us came with, it's too heavy for me to deal with. But that's even the more reason to come and say, you know what, God? You the only one that can deal with this. So he came crying. Repent. Let's name and tell him repent again. Repent. Come on, tell him with some fire and some fervor. Repent. Meaning change. Allow God to change you. Stop trying to fight the change. Resist the change. Resist what God's trying to do or slow it down. Allow him to change you all the way. Meaning like even if you've gotten to a place where it's better, don't get satisfied. Stay hungry. Stay in the place of saying, you know, God, I want to be all the way what you said for me in my life. I said, God, I don't want a bunch of crisis to hit my life for me to be able to get you. Well, I always got to be hurt for me to get submitted. You know? So repent. Repent who? You. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Right? There is preparation that comes for us to say, God, enter in. Meaning that's preparation because it's not just about a church service. You're saying, God, enter into my life. That's preparation. If Christ is, God had to send somebody before Christ to prepare the way for him. He still does this. That's preparation before the next encounter with God, the next move of what God wants to do in your life, the next step in your relationship. There is preparation. And you have to see, how is God trying to prepare you right now for what he wants to do? What is it, the specific things that he's trying to work on you? What is he saying? That no, you have to change this, because this, you, if you don't change this, I can't come in the way you want me to. It doesn't matter you've been like this 15 years, 10 years, 12 years, 8 years. It doesn't matter that you've always known this to be who you were. Change is demanded. He said, well, prepare the way of the Lord. Give me Luke 3 and 5. How's this preparation going to come? Preparing the way, it makes our life comfortable for God, not us. Meaning that the focus of my life is for God to be comfortable with my life. Not me. See, in this Western culture, we've used God as, God, you make my life better. Instead of saying, God, I want you to be comfortable in my life. Meaning that his will is the one that's getting done. Even if it's uncomfortable for me. Lord, it's quiet. So what does he say? In Luke 3 and 5, we're looking at the same story, but we're going to look at the preparation. The preparation that he was giving was for every valley to be filled. Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. I just want to make sure. I see we're doing something else this morning. It's all right. We're going to work with it. Amen? Every valley should be filled, meaning that place of condemnation, that low place, where you say, because condemnation says, well, I'm no good. God don't want to use me. And because of my struggles, because of my sins, then I can't be any good. That's still sin. See, a lot of times people who flow in condemnation flow in pity. You want people to feel sorry for you. God don't feel sorry for you if he's prepared a way for you to get forgiven and to be released. Why should he feel sorry? When he's saying, no, I'm trying to help you. I've already released you from this. I've already died for this. So why be condemned about what I've already died for? So the low place got to be filled, what, with forgiveness and love and bringing you up to the place where you are now still responsible for the life that God is still giving you. Because though you may have made some mistakes, it does not necessarily mean that you don't have a future. It doesn't mean that you can't still live a life that is successful, because God in Jesus Christ has given us a chance to make things right over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's why Paul said there's therefore no condemnation. No condemnation. For those what that walk in the Spirit. Meaning for me to walk in the Spirit, I got to get away from my flesh. So even if I walked in my flesh, for me to choose the Spirit, for me to say, you know what, God, forgive me. I've done what was wrong. I've sinned against you. I've thought wrong. I felt wrong. I've done wrong things. I need you. I don't want these wrong things to separate me from you. See, sometimes there's a lack of conviction that we deal with. Come on, I've been there. I'm not talking. That's why I say we. Because this is what God has to prove to us, that what we're doing is wrong. But some of us, we get away from that because we don't want to feel low or bad about ourselves, or that I messed up, because you know, the enemy has told you that you're a mistake, or that, you know, that you can never get anything right. Lies, 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 and more lies. They're lies. Even in the comfort of the lie, saying, you know what, yeah, I see I messed something up again. Yeah, you're going to keep on messing up. That's why he died. All right. He died because we messed up. He died because we're going to keep on messing up. That's why he died. But in him, the more I get in him, the more I can get it right. The more I let him forgive me, the more I let him wash me, the more I want to spend time with him, I can get it right. Meaning I can be filled. This valley can be filled. This, in this low place, you can get filled. So this is part of the preparation. Come out of the low place. The place of pity, self-pity. Where he said, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it because he died for you to do it. And he rose up for you to do it. That's why you can do it. You can't do it outside of him. No, you can't. Because I can't neither. But you can do it in him. Yes, you can. So he said, what now? Other part of the preparation is what now? Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The high places in our minds. The high places of how we feel about ourselves. And see, pride is so subtle. We get prideful about anything. You can get prideful about your walk with God. And how much you know about God, or how much you think you know about God, or how much you know scripture. You can be prideful about that. To where you get the wrong application of the scripture at the wrong times. Those things will have to be brought low. Where you have lifted up yourself and not waited for him to lift you up. This is where God said, look, I need you to humble yourself. Get low. Sometimes we don't want to get low because we say, well, that feels bad too. Humility means I won't necessarily always be able to defend myself. Humility says, well, I might have to be quiet sometime. Humility says I have to trust my prayer life more than my conversation. Because some things we talk about, and there is no resolution because you have not really prayed to get the resolution. You pray but did not get an answer. It's because many times we already think we know what the answer is. Let go of your right answer and you can get God's right answer. This is what God dealing with me. You thought you was right here. No, you wrong. You thought you was right here, but you're wrong. You judged this person here. You looked at this particular individual here. You judged yourself here, and you're wrong. My truth is what's right. So you have to bring that high place on down. Some things I'm going to just be quiet about. Some things, you know what, I'm going to pray about it and give it some time. Some things I'm going to be careful about my response, careful about how I deal with it, careful about how I talk. Why? Because my mouth done got me in trouble so many different times. Because I thought I knew. Because I had a scripture to line up with that. I had an experience to line up with that. I have all these things to line up with it. But that don't necessarily mean that's what God want to do in this particular situation. Take God out the box. Take him out the box. He don't like being boxed up. He will not be boxed up. That's one thing I do know about him. What you think you know about him, he will confuse you to prove to you that you do not know as much as you think you know. I know he said God, not the author of confusion. Meaning what I'm saying is he'll come a different way, which confuses us. He'll do something different, which confuses us. Right? He'll require something different, which confuses us. Right? So he said, what? You got to bring the mountain low and the hill low. The mountain is that thing that has gotten hard over time, is something that's not easily moved. It's that prideful thing in us that does not want to move. Because to move that is to say, I am exposing me. Now I'm vulnerable. And because, and this is how you know you're not vulnerable, is when you're defensive. If you're defensive, there's no way you're vulnerable. Because you feel like it's your fight. Lord Jesus. Come on, I've been defensive. You ever been defensive? Somebody tell you something that's right and you just, and you know you're wrong, but you still want to argue back. You still want to say something. You still... And my wife was correcting me about something. I made a decision. She said, well, I told you not to do that. I said, well, you're right. Hmm? Well, I mean, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. You said it nicer. You said it nicer, and I appreciate that. But in essence, you said, I told you not to do that. I was not in agreement with that. And now look at it, and nothing came of it. I wanted to say, well, you know, I had a case that I wanted to open up and pull out exhibit A, B, and C. Right? But I said, you know, I'm going to just shut this case because I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Bottom line is I'm wrong. Man, I didn't even get started with saying anything. I just had to say, you're right. And sometimes you got to eat that is you're right. But we hate for other people to be right. But when other people are right, it is your pride that's being broken if it hurts. Because you feel like you're supposed to be right all the time. Let me tell you something. One of my things, I said, I don't lose many arguments. So I don't understand these dudes talking about, oh, they can't win no argument with their wife. That's not me. That ain't been me since high school. Oh, I'm going to win. I'm going to win if I got to cry and everything. I'm going to win. I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to win. If we got to shift this thing into an emotional place, I'm going to win. Yeah, that's the level of manipulation I used to flow in. Yeah. When I met my wife, the Lord told me, don't manipulate her. I said, okay. Yeah. Because I used to flow like that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. I bust out crying and everything. I sure would, because I ain't want to lose. You still going to be wrong in this. Or I'm going to make you feel bad about being right. I'm being serious. Because I ain't like to lose. I felt like I was a good debater. Right? Yeah, he get that from both of us. So, but those things have to be brought low, and those things are brought low when you're wrong. Those things are brought low, those hard places in our life, they're brought low when you fail. When something doesn't work out that you thought you put in trust in, and you thought that this was the answer, and you thought this was going to happen or going to work, and then it fails, it falls apart. That's God saying, you know what? Don't trust that. Don't trust the situation, trust me. Don't trust yourself, trust me. Don't trust your opinion, trust me. And it's so hard for us not to trust our opinion. Because your opinion has all this evidence in your head of why it's right. It's my opinion. And I have enough evidence of why this opinion is correct. And I'm going to stand by my opinion. But God will break your opinion down. He said, I need to bring that on down. I need to bring it down. This part of the preparation, he got to bring it low. Don't fight the low place. Look at your neighbor and say, don't fight the low place. The low place that God produces, not that pity does. He said, what the crooked shall be made straight. Some of us, sometimes we've been crooked in the way that we've dealt with things. Meaning we have some criminal mindsets. Right? You have a criminal mindset if you're always trying to see what you can get away with. What can I get away with? What can I walk on the edge of what they say not to do? and still not really break the total law or not break the total rule or standard? What's the loophole? What's the what is that one little spot where I can just, that sweet spot where I don't break what you said, but I still get what I want? That's what we look for, right? Okay, I'm going to listen to what you said, but somewhere in here, I'm still trying to get what I want. It's a crooked behavior. It's a crooked type of mindset. It's criminal. It's criminal. I mean, I deal with it. I do. I deal with it, yeah. I deal with that. Yes, I'm trying to see what can I get away with about certain things. Right? You know? Now, I do got a fear of God. I know he see me. So I know I ain't really getting away with nothing. So I try to walk that line at times. I've got more fear not to walk that line. Because God will teach you, that line still will burn you. So you got to make the crooked way straight, meaning we got to just shoot it straight. When somebody can't answer your question or you can't answer a question just straight up, you're not being straight. When we got to go all the way around the bend to get to the answer to the question, and it's a yes or no question, or it's a just a, you know, well, what did you do? Okay, why we got to go into yesterday to find out what you did today? Well, there's some kind of evasive behavior going on here in this conversation. There's some crooked conversation going on. There's something going on, right? But when you can just answer the question straight, then you know, okay, I'm making a way for God to come in and just give it to me straight. But when you can't answer that question straight, just answer the question straight up. This is what you asked. This is what I'm going to answer. There's some kind of crookedness going on there. There's some kind of fear going on there. So he said, what, the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways shall be made smooth. The rough ways, the rough places in our walk with God. It's talking about the rough places in the water, I mean the rocky places in the water, shall be made smooth. This is what God is looking to do. He's trying to make this thing smooth. He's trying to get you to, okay, look, this, you want me to come on in? I need to smooth this stuff out. This rough place that when you are wrong, you blow up. Or when you know what I'm saying, you can't just come out and admit that you're wrong. You just can't apologize. Take you 2 or 3 days to apologize. That's a rough place. That's rough. That is a strong indication that there is pride evident. It takes you 2 or 3 days to apologize. There's pride. Pride is evident. It is there. And that's rough. Yes, Lord. Come on, take me back to Matthew. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, feel better? Do you feel better? We're going to go to verse 4. Saying the same, John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. This God will use somebody extreme to help you to change. Because for many of us, this is what it takes. It takes an extreme situation for us to change, or an extreme person. This person, he was out in the wilderness living off of crickets pretty much and honey, eating bugs with some weird clothes on. He had on a raiment of camel's hair, and it is history saying he wore it inside out, so the hair was sticking him all the time for discomfort. Because the prophetic understands that you're never supposed to be comfortable. Never. In order for you to flow, you always have to be at a place of discomfort. You always have to be at a place of being able to change and being pliable. Of being pricked, being convicted. So he was always in pain in his service. Lord have mercy. Said the same John had raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. He lived off of the wilderness. He lived off of what was going on, you know, what was available to him. All that was his focus was his mission. This was the purpose of why I've been put on the earth, is to be able to fulfill what God said. Amen. Come on, give me verse 5. And we're going to read through to verse 6. So then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, Jordan is this place, and I don't want to go too far into this, but John was the fulfillment of the spirit and the power of Elijah that's supposed to go before Christ, right? Now, Elijah was the one that left at Jordan, right? So we see that this, that he is the fulfillment of this thing. He's coming back to the same place to be able to fulfill the word. Now, Jordan means death. It means death. So they came to a place to get baptized because he was preaching repentance of sins, turning away from the inward sins. It was not just a ritual thing that they were doing. He was saying, look, confess the stuff that you've been having going on the inside of your head. They had to verbally confess with joy and then be baptized to dying, saying, I'm dying to what I just confessed to. And they came all about, people was coming to be changed. They was coming saying, you know, I want God. Meaning they was coming hungry, being able to tell the truth about themselves, not somebody else. Maybe it involves somebody else, but they had to tell the truth about them. See, it's easy for us to tell the truth about somebody else. This is what this person did, and this is what's going on with you. But what's going on with you? What's going on with me? Why your fuse shorter than what it used to be? What's going on? What's going on? Something is going on. Why is it so far in between you and the presence of God personally in your life? Meaning, why do you have so many days, so many weeks in between you and being able to fellowship with God? Why? When it used to be, this is what you hunger for. This is what you wanted. What's going on? What are you avoiding? You say, well, I say a little prayer on the way to work so I can feel better. It's just better. You're halfway there. It's not change. Change says, I got to come before him until he does it. Until he changes it. Until he breaks this hard place open in me. Until he uproots this bitterness in me. Until he gets rid of this level of anger that I'm dealing with. Come on now. Until he closes these doors that are open in my life that causes me to struggle the way that I'm struggling. Hallelujah. So they confess their sins. Look at your neighbor and say, confess. You got to keep on talking about it. Because see, one layer is not enough. We'll say one thing, but then that thing goes so deep in some of us, sometimes we won't keep on talking about a thing so you can figure out how deep it really goes. Because if it's still dealing with you, it's still there. If it's still affecting you, then there's no reason to stop talking about it. Even if you're just talking about the symptoms and you don't really know what's going on with you. You ever been there? I really don't know why I'm so upset. I really don't know why I'm so hurt. I really don't know why I don't want to be bothered. I really don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I can say this, this, that, and the other, but I can't put my finger exactly on why I'm like this. Have you ever thought that God did not destine for you to be this way that you are right now in your life? Oh, Lord, it got quiet over there on me. You got to get it straight, huh? You trying to get it straight? I hear you. Get it straight. Get it straight, man of God. Get it straight. Amen. I need you to keep playing. Amen. I need you to keep on playing. Hallelujah. Play and repent. That's what I need you to do. Play and repent. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about this? The way that you see that God wants you to be, from the not just being used by God, I'm talking about a lifestyle of really being close to Him, of intimacy. One thing I know about intimacy with God is take circumcision. God wants to cut away before He gives. Before you enter into what God has for you and enter into a covenant relationship that is closeness with Him, He wants to cut away some things. And those things get cut away, and you'll become a part of this process by confessing and saying, I'm ready to die to this. Even if every time you confess, you say, you know what? God, kill me in this place. Kill me right here. Kill this desire right here. God, get rid of this right here. God, get rid of this right here. You got to keep on doing it until it's dead. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Come on, give me the next scripture. So, but when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The religious folks. Because see, the religious people just want it without the work. Yeah, I've been that person. Right? Religious. God, I came to church, I shouted, I danced, and He said, okay, now you have to live it. Right. You got to live this thing now that is going to cause you pain to live. Because death don't feel good. He said, well, who has warned you? Why are you coming for another ritual? Why are you coming for another move of God? Because that's what we want. We want God to move, right? God, move, move, God, move. He is moving. He's moving. But we think the moves are these things, that the grandiose things that He does. And He said, no, I'm moving in you. I'm moving, trying to kill you. Trying to change you. That's how I'm moving. Yes. I'm moving, trying to make you into another individual. I'm moving to make you into who I have called you to be. I'm moving to form Christ in you. Yes. So who's warned you? Because a religious spirit always wants to be right. Always. I just want to be right. And I'm not talking about being right with Him. I'm talking about being right in situations. Just say you're wrong. I'm wrong. You know what? Maybe the way I'm looking at this is wrong. I had to back off some stuff even in my own personal life and say, you know what? Maybe the way I'm coming at this is wrong. Because the result that I'm looking for from this, though I'm using the word, is not coming out. So maybe I'm looking at this in a wrong manner. Maybe I'm coming at it in a wrong manner. Maybe my application is wrong. So you got to look and say, you know what, God? It's time for me to be immersed in change, not just a ritual. It's time for me to be immersed in change, not just a church service. Meaning this thing daily, every day, got to deal with you. Every day got to deal with you. The truth got to be brought to you to say, you know what? No, I still want change in that area. I still want more. No, I'm not satisfied in that area. No, I still want more of you in that area. No, I still have not gotten away from the last thing I told you. No, I still want change in that area. Amen. For some of us, a lot of us, it's our mouths. It's our mouths. And whether it be our mouths or it's in some of us, it's our thought pattern. The thought pattern is off. So when truth comes, it hurts more than it should. It feels like an attack instead of help. Because the truth is confronting a lie that you believe. An image that you worship. It could be an image of your life, an image of what you want, an image of what you feel like things should be, but when the truth comes, it offends you. Hallelujah. But it shouldn't be this way. We have to come out of religion. And I know that's offensive for some of us because we love church. But some of us are just religious. Look at your level of application. But you want more, 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 more. But if you're not applying what you're getting, then it's just going to puff you up. So you can have a higher pedestal to stand on to judge people. So you can feel better than other people because of how much you know, but not how much you live in. Look at how much you're living. How much do you know and how much you live in? The level of revelation you have and the level of lifestyle you have, do they match? If they don't match, there's some revelation don't need to be shared. Don't share it in a manner like you live in it. That's why I keep on saying, yeah, this is some of me too. Yeah, this is me too. Yeah, this is me too. Why? Because this is how God's dealing with me too. Don't just try to get a whole bunch of stuff. Try to learn a bunch of stuff and try to seek just to know, but you got to seek to live. Change, radically different. Meaning this is not going to be something that you're used to. Radically different. Radically immersed totally. Baptism is when they immerse totally in the water. Radically different, meaning totally immersed in what God wants you to do. Totally immersed in how God wants you to flow. Totally immersed in a lifestyle that God will have you to be. And that lifestyle is not just church. I'm talking about being totally immersed is being a good employee, being totally immersed is being a good family member, being totally immersed in being a good husband, being totally immersed in being a good wife, being totally immersed in being a good father, a good mother, being totally immersed wherever, all these different applications. God, empower me in all these places. Remove the image of what I think it should be and show me what it's supposed to be. Because for some of us, that's what we looking for, that image. That image is our goal, and it's not God's image. It's not what God says. So we're mad because we're worshiping the image, and that's what's getting your worship. I suppose I had this amount of money. I suppose to be able to live like this. I suppose, but let's be honest. a certain level of money, we would not walk by faith. A certain level of money, and you would not pray the way you pray now. Right? If I had a few million in the bank, I want to think that I would pray like that. But I'd probably be busy managing my millions. Yeah. I'll be busy managing the money instead of trying to manage my prayer life. So God wants you to prosper what? As your soul prospers. So if your soul is not prospering in him, how can you begin to prosper? The answer is Jesus. I know we've been around church sometimes so long, we feel like, you know, these things are just cliche. We heard them. But the answer really is Jesus. For some of us, it's just cliche. You just heard it. Yeah, I agree with that. Hallelujah. But are you living like that's the answer? Look at your neighbor and say, look at your lifestyle. He's saying what? If you're coming to really repent, because this is what this is about. This is about repentance. This morning, this is about saying, God, no, change me some more. So we want to say, God, as soon as I can get a break off this wheel, let me get off this potter's wheel soon. Give me a break. Get your hands off of me. But God looking for people to say, no, change me some more, God. Change me some. This is not good enough. I'm not good enough. I mess it up a little bit too much. Change me some more, God. Don't let me get stuck where I'm at. Change me some more, God. Deal with me some more. He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You trying to get right because you're scared of the next thing. And for some of us, this has been the basis of your relationship with God. It has taken a warning to get you right. Not his death. It's taking that, oh, you about to get locked up. Or, oh, you about to get this, that, and the other. All these different things. And I'm not saying that God would not do this. I'm saying out of his love, he does this. But God's heart is for the death of his son to be enough. His heart is for the death of his son to be enough. But he knows the heart of man, that's not enough for us. Him giving his best is not enough for us to change. It's not enough for us to stop complaining. It's not enough for us to say, I'm settled with this lifestyle. I'm settled with what he's given me. It's not enough. We're not that thankful about him. That's why we can call on his name and he say, I'm not going there because why? They're not really thankful. They're honoring me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'm really mad about the lifestyle I'm living. I'm upset that God is allowing certain things. I don't like it. I want to be vindicated. I want God to make things right for me. Come on now, right? I'm upset about it. And I'm coming to God, yeah, because I know you the answer, but really, I'm really upset with you. I'm mad at you. I said, who warned you? Who warned you? And I commend us for, because sometimes it's a warning for me. Yes. Many times it was a warning for me. Many times. But that shows the lack of the fear of God that I had. That's really what it showed. It showed that I got in such a bad place that it took a warning to get me straight. It showed the level of pride that I really had because I tried to go out there far enough to be able to just test him, to provoke him. To where he says, look, a few more steps. This ain't gonna turn out good for you. Right? But let's pay attention to that. Let's look at that. That's how rebellious I am. That's how rebellious some of us are. That's how proud some of us are. And God is saying, look, I know this truth is hard, and it's hard to swallow about some of us, because when you look at yourself, you don't want to feel that bad about you. You don't want to say, I'm that angry, or I'm that mean, or I'm that upset, or it's that hard to deal with me, or it's hard to have a conversation with me. We don't want to say that. But some things are just true, and it's not. You're not going to change it until you just deal with what it is. It's the truth. You may know a lot, but you know a lot and rebel. And you take what you know to cover your rebellion. Yeah. Well, I got this level of revelation. Okay. That level of revelation is supposed to bring a level of fear. Change. Look at your neighbor and say, change. Come on, yell out, change. You need to change. But we don't want God to go that deep to change us. So what verse 8 said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Where your fruit at? Did the fruit come after the change? He said, bring forth fruit that's meet, that meaning it is agreeable that you have changed. Don't bring me saying you have changed. John said, no, don't tell me you changed and you ain't got no proof. Oh, yeah, we hate that. We hate that. Well, how have you changed? We don't want to explain that, right? Because many times we just have not changed. We just got better. We got good enough for a season. We got good enough for just a few months. Or a few weeks, a few days. I felt Jesus and it backed the struggle up off of me and you thought you was free. No. It ain't free until you don't want it. You ain't free until you don't agree with it no more. Where the fruit at? Look at your neighbor and say, where the fruit at? I said, I'm trying to keep y'all talking so you don't get heavy. I'm not trying to make you heavy. But God has looked for a breaking in some of us. A breaking. And we've been resisting that breaking that God really wants to do to be able for you to enter into what God really has for you. So bring forth what? The fruit. Where the fruit at? Now it's time to prove it. God changed you, prove it. There should be a change in your walk, a change in how you talk, a change in how you think, a change in your response, a change in how you take correction, a change in how you take instruction. There should be a change. It can't just be a confession. Because he knew he had to talk like this to religious folk. Because we know church lingo. God's so good. I just feel his presence right now. He's just so good. And I'm just telling you what he's been doing to me. Okay. Amen. We listen to your testimony. But understand the discerning eye is looking for your proof. I got people looking at my life. Seeing if I'm changed. Seeing if I'm going to stay changed. Seeing if the change is real. See, we don't want to, why are you trying to inspect me? Yes, I'm trying to inspect you. Inspect me, keep me right. Look at me. And if you see that I have not changed, tell me. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He said, look, don't try to have a leg to stand on because you think about the last move of God or what God did in your granddaddy, your great granddaddy, the forefathers, and all this other stuff. No, we're not talking about what happened last year. We're talking about right now. We're not talking about where your prayer life was 6 years ago. Where's your prayer life now? Right? We're not talking about how much you wanted him 4 years ago. How much do you want him now? Will you trade him in for a blessing? Is he still good enough if he don't bless you the way you feel like you deserve? This is what the man of God was talking to about on Wednesday. Our exaltation of him supposed to be greater than our expectation, meaning I can't worship what I want more than I worship the one who's supposed to give it. So he said, well, don't say within yourselves, because he knew what they was thinking. Because religious people are going to have a defense, even if they don't say nothing. That's why some of us in here quiet this morning. Yeah, you got a defense in your head. That defense is a proof of a stronghold in your mind. It's a stronghold in your mind that gives you a defense so you don't change. A defense could be, well, he ain't perfect, I sure ain't. And we can sit down and I can tell you, everywhere I ain't perfect. Right? But I do want them. I don't always want them more than I want other things. But I do want him. And I have to confront those things that I want more than him. And sometimes it's just my way. That's really what I'm looking at. The main thing that I really want more than him is me. I want me to be pleased more than him. So God been dealing with me. Oh, this is about me getting pleasure, not you. It's not about your comfort. It's about mine. It's about me being comfortable with your life, me being pleased with your life. And then you learning how to have pleasure in that pleasure. Learning how to be happy about that God is pleased. Because I'm not always happy when he pleased. Amen? Am I by myself? I know I ain't by myself. I'm not always happy when I'm when he's pleased, I'm not always happy. But we say within ourselves a lot of different things to fight against what God is trying to do, not knowing you resisting something, not knowing it is a doorway for demonic reasoning in your mind. And that demonic reasoning don't have to be something all the way overt. It could just be something that agrees with your opinion or how you feel or your viewpoint. Right? But you got to pull the strongholds down. Amen? And we pull the strongholds down by hard truth. Hard truth. The hard truth of you dealing with you brings you into reality. So what did he say in verse 10? So now I can get to my prop. He says what? The axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. And I said, well, God, when you're cutting down a tree, you usually don't chop the root. Think about it. If you're cutting down a tree, you're going at the trunk because you're just trying to cut it down. And this is where all of this birthed from, this whole message, birthed from right here. He said, no, because I'm trying to kill the tree. I'm not trying to just cut it down. I'm trying to destroy the existence of the tree. The tree was, and I began to say, well, okay, well, what does this tree stand for? It's your will. That's what I'm trying to cut off. The life of your will over mine. That's what the axe is in your life, in my life. This is why some things you're having to wait. It's why some things just don't work out that well. This is why some things just having to frustrate you. This is why some things just not moving forward, because it's your will, it's not his. And he said, what? The axe? It's at the root. And when I picked this up, I said, well, I want to put my hands on this, because I want to know what this feel like. And I was a Boy Scout, so I done chopped some wood before, you know, and it's tiresome. So I know to chop a root is not easy, especially if the tree is old. And for some of us, that tree is old, and that's why this is such a painful process, because he's coming at the root. Meaning he's dealing with foundational stuff. And that's when we begin to cringe and start to pull back, because that's when you get challenged about everything that you know. Everything you thought you knew. He said, no, I'm going to come at the root of this thing. Your will. It ain't the situation. It's not the money. Not the job. It's not your spouse. It's your will. Your will is not submitted. This is what I'm saying. He's showing me. Your will is really not submitted to me. You say you want me, yes, you do want me, but that doesn't mean you always choose me. There's some things you just don't agree with when it comes to my will, and you want yours. And you want to use me to fulfill your will, and that's just not going to happen. So he said, I'm going to come at the root of this thing. And when I begin to pick this up, and I said, well, you know, it's kind of heavy. Anybody want to hold it? Can I get somebody to volunteer? Just want to hold it? Come on up. Taylor. You want to feel it? You ever felt the axe before? No? Yeah. The sheath is on it, so it ain't going to cut you or nothing. It's heavy, right? It's not heavy.
It's a little heavy. It's not.
I don't know. It ain't light though, is it?
It's not heavy.
This part of this is not a little heavy. What I'm saying, it's not light. It's not like picking up that projector. Right. Meaning it has some force to it. It's not a butter knife. It's not a machete. Right? Right? Anybody else want to hold it? Come on up here. See, the children want to hold it. They want to play. Well, that's all right. No, you got to stay on the drums. Amen. You hold it. Brandon, you done cut wood before? In the army? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. It is heavy. Yes. It's a pretty heavy axe, right? This is a prophetic tool. A lot of times we talk about the sword of the spirit, but the prophets use axes. When you go back to Elisha, he made the axe head swim at the Jordan. This is a prophetic tool. It's heavy, but it's blunt in the sharpness. Meaning the change, a lot of times when the prophetic begins to change you. You want to hold it a little while longer? Okay. That's all right. Go ahead. It's a good time in your life. That's good. But what God began to show me is when you're swinging it, the heaviness of that weight coming down, that's the change sometimes God's bringing in us. Sometimes we just want the sword to cut away. You know, and that can be painful because it gets so close and stuff. But this gets a little violent, you know, in the way that it cuts because of how heavy it is. And it's not like super sharp. You know what I mean? So this is what God began to tell me. He said, look, this is my word with my glory. Because the glory of God is the weight of God. So when the word comes with glory, it rests on you. This is why I sometimes it's like, come on, don't get heavy in here. Because you don't realize it is the glory that's trying to rest on you when the word is coming, that's coming to break you. That's coming to chop something down. It's uncomfortable. It's coming to try to kill something. And anytime you swing an axe, you're not swinging it lightly. A lot of the force comes from the weight of it. It ain't just the person that's swinging it, but it is also the weight of it. Sometimes we get caught up in the person that's swinging the axe. Right? Anybody else? One more person? Go ahead. And then I'm going to let y'all go. See? So this is a prophetic tool. And this is how sometimes when the prophetic comes to deal with your life, that's how it feels. Like something that's like, poof, I mean, really hitting you. But it's coming to kill something that really wants to kill you. It's coming to kill something that is defying God. Amen? You ever swung an axe before? No? Oh, I ain't going to have you swinging in here because we don't want to mess up nothing. Okay? Though it's protected, it still do some damage. But it's kind of heavy, right? Yeah. It's a heavy tool. Yeah, don't take that off. It's brand new. I'm going to use it at home somewhere. I'm going to find somewhere to use it. Boy and me come out. So he said, the axe is what laid unto the root of the trees. Meaning there's one more than one place that God is chopping. God is saying, poof, okay, I got this place a little bit worked down. Poof, poof. And I'm going to the next place. Poof, poof. And he's breaking up the roots. The root of the trees. So it can begin to change who you are. Radically different. Radically different. That's why he says, therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's trying to get rid of those things that's trying that's growing fruit, but it's not good fruit. Meaning you could be fruitful in wicked things. You could be fruitful in a wicked mindset. And wicked don't always mean that you're overtly doing something. Wicked just means it's opposite of what God said. So the axe is laid down to the root of the trees to cut them down, to kill them. The will on the inside of you. The decisions that you've made on the inside that says, God, I'll never let you go this deep. The decisions. The decisions that you've made on the inside that you really don't talk about. And this is why confession is important, because it begins to shine light on where you say, you know what? I do got a stopping point with God, because I got a stopping point with people. And I'm not going to let God take me but so far, because I just don't trust him the way I used to. So he's trying to, you crying out for help, and he said, I'm going to lay down to the root of the trees. I need to get down deep for radical change. I need to get down deep into that thing that you have lived with, and you've made it through, you've served me with, you've done some great things with it, but you didn't know this thing really had been growing and trying to take you out. You know? It could be just that compromising you. He said, no, I got to get all the way down and get that all the way up. The rejection in you, I got to get that all the way down, all the way up. The fear that you're dealing with, I got to get all the way down and kill that and pull it all the way up. So I just want to encourage you not to just feel better. Look at your name and say, do you still feel better? Answer them now. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Understand, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Okay? But I don't want you just to feel better. We want repentance. That's what God demands from us, is change. The change that's uncomfortable, the change that we don't like, and the demand that goes past what we're willing really to say yes to. Amen? Amen. So pay attention to what God is chopping down, and give your will over and say, God, it's about your will, not me. God, it's about you being pleased, not me. And you might have to remind yourself over and over and over again, God, it's about you being pleased and not me. Not me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve just to be, just because I think I deserve it. It doesn't mean I necessarily deserve it. Hallelujah. I deserve what you give to me. I deserve how you reward me. I deserve to be saved to a certain extent because you died for me. So I deserve to have salvation. You know? But everything after that is just not necessary. You just supposed to give that to me. Come on, stand on your feet. We're going to get ready for the worship of our giving, but I'm going to just pray for us just real quick at the close of this word. Just do a corporate prayer, and then we're going to, you can raise your hand if you need an envelope for your giving, you want to sow this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word, God. We thank you for that you're cutting down some things in our lives, Father. We thank you that you are after our will, that you're after the way that we view you, that you're challenging us the way that we serve you. You're challenging us in the way that we begin to approach you. You're challenging our consistency. You're challenging how we humble ourselves. You're challenging us. So God, help us in the name of Jesus to really humble ourselves before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, even now, Father God, that you, God, Father God, by your spirit and by your word, will bring glory into our lives. You will get the glory out of this process in us. We thank you for repentance. Give us the power to repent. Father, help us not to fight off godly sorrow in the name of Jesus. Not to try to feel better just to not feel bad in the moment when it's really true conviction or true guilt or true shame that we're supposed to deal with to birth godly sorrow in us that we can really turn from a thing and totally turn away. We thank you, Lord God, even now, God, that you're pulling down strongholds in our minds, Father God, the reasonings, the opinions, the things, the lies, the different things, God, in our mind, oh God, that keep us from really serving you. That keep us from really giving you our heart, from giving you us. So, God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God, even now in the name of Jesus. And we say, God, Father God, on today, God, receive us. Help us to come back to you, to return to you, to live in truth, to walk in truth in the name of Jesus. Help us to pay attention to our walk, our lifestyle, our intimacy with you. And Father, we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Oh, come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. Don't take your hand off of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you.